2 weeks back, we heard Jesus say to us, "I am the bread of life." Last week, Jesus went one step forward and he said, "This bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Now, quite understandably, the people of his time began to argue among themselves, "Well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And I bet that if you and I were present then, we would have asked the same question, even by today's standards. Who gives somebody else their flesh to eat? This is not normal. But Jesus, knowing their questions, continues to reflect on what he means by it, and he does not take any of the realism away. In fact, he emphasizes the realism of the reality of the real presence of Christ in the bread and wine when he says, "My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Many Catholics today continue to have the same question that the Jews of Jesus' time had. And the questions are very simple. Really, is the bread and wine here truly the body and blood of Christ? How does it happen? How can I understand it? Statistics tell us from 2008 that only 57% of the Catholics actually believed that this is indeed the body and the blood of Christ. Not because they don't want to, but it's not the easiest thing to believe in. So, I have just 2 points for you today, but I'm going to explain to you how it happens. What is this belief we have in the real presence of Christ? The what and how of the real presence of Christ. That's what I want to do with you today. So first, there is a part of the Mass which we call the Epiclesis. And when does this happen? After the Holy Holy. The priest has the bread and wine, of course, here, it's our gift. And at some point, the priest places his hands on the bread and wine and he says, "You are holy indeed, the font of all holiness." And then the priest invokes God the Father to send the Holy Spirit to transform this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Now, this is significant. I don't have magic in my hands. I don't do this. This is not something that I do. In fact, epiclesis literally means to invoke the Father, to send the Holy Spirit, to transform the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Epiclesis means asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit to perform an action that human beings cannot perform. I don't transform this bread and wine, it's the Spirit of God. And so really, this transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing we need to understand. Now, has this happened before in the Scriptures? Do we have an example where the Holy Spirit transformed something into flesh and blood? And yes, we do. So we have the Annunciation, remember? When the angel came to Mary and said, "You will conceive and bear a son." And what did Mary ask? How can this be? The same question that the Jews asked in today's gospel reading. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Mary asks, how can this be? The same question Catholics ask today. How can this be? And the best answer for that is the answer that angel Gabriel gave to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. And that's what happens in the Eucharist, in the Epiclesis. The Holy Spirit, the Father sends the Holy Spirit and overshadows this bread and wine. At the Annunciation, the Word was made flesh in Mary's womb. At the Eucharist, bread and wine is made into flesh and blood by the same Spirit. Okay, so that's my first point. But how does it happen? How do we explain this to somebody who doesn't understand? Catholics use a word called transubstantiation. Big word. You know, many of us have the simple faith of, I don't care how it happens. I don't want to know how it happens. I just know it is. And thank God if that's what your faith is. But if you want to understand this word called substantiation, here's a very, very simple way to do it. First of all, let's break the word down. Trans, substantiation. Trans means change, right? The word substance in the word substantiation. Now, it's very important for us to understand this word substance. What are we talking about? So I have an example. Actually, I left all my props at home. I forgot. I had a guest today, so I forgot to bring it. I wanted to bring different kinds of bread. But let's see. We can understand the word substance by these pieces of paper. This is all paper, right? Okay, talk to me. Yeah, this is paper, right? Okay. They're different colors, right? Is this paper? Is this paper? Even though it's pink and this is purple, it's paper. Whatever a thing is made of is called the substance of the object. So, this is wood and this is wood. But this is a table, this is a chair. But they are both wood, right? All these pieces of paper, different weight, same size, different colors. But the substance is the same. What's the substance? Paper. Every object has substance and qualities. What's the quality of this piece of paper? This is purple, pink, peach, whatever. Okay, let us argue about that. And green, right? The substance is the same. What is different? The qualities are different. Same thing with human beings, right? Come on here. Come on here, come here, come here, come here. Okay. No. He's not that good. What's our substance? Flesh and blood. Anika, come here. Come here, come here, quickly. What is our substance? What is our substance? Flesh and blood. Are you sure, all of us? Substance is the same, right? Qualities differ. Black hair, no hair, right? Male, female. But we are all the same substance, am I correct? Qualities change. I am brown, he's white, she's white, he's white. Are we still human beings? Substance is the same, qualities change. Thank you, my actors, you may go down, go back. What am I trying to say? In normal life, our experience is substance remains the same, but qualities change. In the Eucharist, the opposite happens. Follow me. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the bread and the wine, unlike our normal experience, the substance changes, but the qualities don't. So when you have the bread, it still looks like bread. Why? Because the qualities haven't changed. The substance has changed from the substance of wheat to the substance of flesh and blood. And thank God it is that way. It's God's wisdom that God makes it possible for us to receive flesh and blood in the form of bread and wine. It's called transubstantiation because the substance of the bread and the wine has changed to the body and blood, but the accidents, the qualities remain that of bread and wine. Transubstantiation. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. Remember that the angel had said to Mary at the Annunciation, with God all things are possible. So really, at some point we have to just let it rest and say, yes, dear God. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, do this in memory of me. And when we do this in memory of him, God is faithful. God makes it possible for us to do this in memory of him. And so by this process of transubstantiation, we believe that the substance of this bread and wine has truly